Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to the Reasonable Voice radio show. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice. The mission of the Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal economic opportunity and justice for all without truth decay. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing both creative artists and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Good afternoon. This is Marcello Rolando with the Reasonable Voices radio talk show. My guest today is a good friend and political mentor, Andrea Miller, Executive Director of People Demanding Action, and she is their IT director. I should mention also in 2008, Andrea Miller was the Democratic nominee for the House of Representatives in the Virginia 4th District, and she ran even back then on Medicare for All and Clean Energy Platform. Andrea was endorsed by Progressive Democrats of America, California Nurses, and the Sierra Club. Before that, Andrea was the MoveOn.org's regional coordinator for Central, Southwest, and Hampton Roads areas of Virginia and West Virginia, and she's the lead designer and production team leader for PDA's websites and printed materials, and co-directs PDA's Capitol Hill letter drops. And she'll talk about that. I'll ask her. You should know about these letter drops and Hill meetings. That is, she gets the people together and they go to Capitol Hill and actually practice. Remember this? Democracy. Oh my God, in action. Which brings us, by the way, to one of the many reasons I've asked Andrea to be my guest today. She's part of a team putting together for September 24th, Moral Action on Climate Change in Washington, D.C., to coincide with the papal visit of Pope Francis I. And good afternoon to you, Andrea, and how are you?
Well, good afternoon, Marcello. I am great. It has been far too long since I've joined you on your show. I am very glad to be back today.
Well, I appreciate it. And I should mention, too, that, of course, Andrea Miller has her own radio show and does a tremendous informing and educating the voters, I think, is probably oversimplifying, but that umbrella is, certainly seems to be the mission. And in exciting and us to take action, to at least call our representatives. Don't just settle for clicking online petitions, although they are important too. She's told me, you know, it's like taking out a newspaper ad. It's important. But you need to call. You need to visit. I've followed her to D.C. many times. But let's get to, it seems like, Andrea, you formed an impressive collaboration from climate justice to faith-based to environmental groups, and it's all part of it, very consistent with your new organization, relatively new, People Demanding Action. But all of these people are coming together, and how many do you expect to attend in Washington on September 24th? What's your expectation?
Well, we have absolutely no idea, but we know that so many people are so excited by this pope. Mm. So know that there will be tens of thousands of people, and we are set up on the National Mall. Mm-hmm. We have a permit for 150,000 people. We have the space on the National Mall between 3rd Street and 7th Street. Now, if people are going to be in D.C., you may want to make it a point to come to our event. Our event is free and it's open to the public. The other main event, most of those events are ticketed. So if you are not a ticket holder, you will not be able to attend. But our event is free and open to the public. We're going to be starting at 7 o'clock in the morning. Our program is going to go until noon. We have six jumbotrons, so you will definitely be able to see our program.
Wow, that is so impressive.
And we will be broadcasting the Pope's remarks to Congress as well.
Pope Francis is going to be speaking to Congress about
yes.
taking action, some positive, urgently needed action to save our climate from climate change.
Now, Marcello, we really don't know exactly what Pope Francis is going to be speaking about in Congress. We know climate change is one of the topics addressed in the encyclical, as is poverty, as is references are made to trade, references are made to finance. The encyclical addresses so many issues that progressives always talk about. We are not sure which combination he will choose to address. That is still an unknown. We know what we hope he'll speak about, but again, remember, at any point, literally up until tomorrow morning, he's probably tweaking his address.
Yes.
So he might add some things, he might take some things out. We're not really sure.
Well, either way, he is... the creme de la creme of popes, as far as I'm concerned, and he has certainly come out for every progressive humanitarian issue, the people fleeing the wars in Syria and trying to get to safety, and of course, other things he said. You know, he's spoken out about gay marriage, he's spoken out about abortion. He is a pope that certainly has taken the correct name, I have to say that. After St. Francis of Assisi, who was all about loving everything alive on earth. And Pope Francis takes it that other step, too, of loving earth itself. We are, you even mentioned trade. What has the Pope been, what's his position on trade? Do you ever say anything about TPP?
Well, what he's basically said about trade is that it is very important that we not use it to exploit people on both ends. And again, he's looking at some of these modern trade deals that have taken away jobs in America, impoverishing people in America. Then it brings the jobs to other countries, but instead of coming in at a fair wage, we bring in more low-wage jobs, and we then exploit workers in other countries.
And you know, that's sad to say, that is not a new habit for American administrations of both parties. There's been a great deal of that, but certainly TPP, as people say, puts all that on steroids. Well, back to September 24th, I want to make certain everyone understands that the importance of trying to attend that. How do we get people to attend? How do we get them to help or inform them of what they need to know?
There are two websites you can go. There are many, 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 many events that are happening all around the Pope's visit. Our event is probably going to be the biggest one. moralactiononclimate.org, on the right-hand side, you will see a long list of events. There are many events in D.C. There are also events going on in other cities and other states. People that are sharing their events with us, we are putting them on our website so that maybe if you're not traveling to D.C., then you'll be able to see the event. We're also asking people to RSVP. When you RSVP, that will get you on our mailing list. For an event like this, as you can imagine, we need volunteers. So right now, we need volunteers in Maryland and in Virginia to put up posters and flyers about the Pope's visit around Metro patients. You would be amazed at the number of people who don't know anything at all about the Pope's visit. I'm not sure how you do that, but there are people in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia who seem pleasantly amazed when they discover that the Pope is going to be here next week.
You know, it is. I would be astounded along with you, except when I see so much news coverage on Donald Trump, and then the Pope is sort of a little afterthought at the end of a broadcast. I can understand how some people don't know that it's next week. It's upon us, or I should say, it's September 24th, and he'll be here, and he's going to Philadelphia as well, I believe. Yes.
He's going to Philadelphia, and then from Philadelphia, he's going to New York. So, yes. And I've heard, and this was 3 weeks ago, that Amtrak seats coming into D.C. during the time of the Pope's visit were just about sold out. The other thing is that the city of D.C., everybody is on snow day policy. So they're really discouraging people from coming to work in D.C. because we're going to have so many visitors coming to see the Pope.
You know, it's heartwarming. I've been to Rome several times, not since Pope Francis has been Pope, but to see what happens at the Sistine Chapel, especially when a Pope is elected. I've never been there during an election or selection of a Pope, but I have been there during the Pope's afternoon mass or special holidays, and it's an amazing thing to see in Rome. And I have to say, not just as a Roman Catholic, but the fact that that kind of throng of humanity is going to be in the nation's capital and in other places where he will visit and in other events, even if he's not coming to that particular place. But as you say, someone asked me the other day, why is he going to Philadelphia? I went, well, with this wonderful Pope, this wonderful human being who loves all people, it could be any number of reasons, from the fact that that was the birth of our nation to the being called the city of brotherly love. I don't care why he's going. I'm just glad he's coming to America and is going to include Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and, of course, my favorite city, New York. Let's talk about, you know, I know you say we don't know what he's going to talk about, but this rally is to show support for the kinds of progressive issues on which Pope Francis has spoken out, right? Like saving the earth and the environment and the poor. Well, frankly, I think he's all about returning to human decency of the golden rule, you know. And of course, trying to encourage action on the part of the Congress. I understand 10 Republicans have now gone on record to say there is such a thing as climate change. What do you think of that?
Yes. Well, Mitch McConnell says there's such a thing as climate change. He just doesn't believe that it's man-made.
Yes.
So that's probably the really big difference. So we now have three types of Republicans. We have Republicans that say, oh, there is no such thing. we have Republicans that say, yes, there is climate change, but it's just perfectly natural. That's kind of, I think, the Koch brothers funded one where they, it's natural, it occurs every millennia or so. And then, like the exhibit in the Smithsonian where they were trying to tell you, and climate change is good for you as long as you don't happen to be anywhere among the 28% of the population that lives in a low-lying area, that with the climate change that we're experiencing, going to be underwater. So I guess if you're one of those folks, then climate change isn't good for you. If you live in the mountains, then allegedly you're going to A, get taller, B, you're going to get leaner. So that's kind of one school of thought, not mine personally. And then there is the final school of thought. Climate change has been induced by man's behavior and choices, and that by making different choices and by making adjustments, we will be able to both mitigate and even reverse climate change.
Now, Andrea, I know part of what people demanding action focuses on and acknowledges and tries to educate us all about. Climate change clearly, if for anyone who's sensible, whether they're a scientist or not, our climate is changing. The earth is getting warmer. Icebergs are melting. Glaciers are disappearing. All of that's true, so we're not even going to discuss that. But what I don't think everyone realizes is that climate change, regardless of who causes it, seems to have a greater negative impact on the poor. Can you explain why?
There's a number of reasons for that. The poor and communities of color. Mm-hmm. And the reasons for that is when you look at waste dumps, when you look at incinerators, when you look at, even in some instances, nuclear reactors, you never see any of those things that emit radiation, that, you know, emit air pollutants and water pollutants. You never see those built in wealthy neighborhoods. You always see them built. They're always saying it's where the land is cheap, but you always see them being built in poor communities. So now you end up with communities where children are born ill, they're ill all their lives, and in many of these communities, people are born there, they live their entire lives there. Like, remember Eric Garner, I Can't Breathe?
Yes.
Well, the reason Eric Garner couldn't breathe is Eric Garner had asthma. Eric Garner had 6 children. All of his children have asthma. Eric Garner lived near a biomass incinerator. That's why Eric Garner had asthma in the first place.
So it's like so many things, climate change does not attack evenly, even-handedly, those who seem to have the least among us are so often the ones who pay the most dearly in so many areas of our life. And obviously we've seen examples of mass incarceration, police brutality, but now to even include climate change as just another weight on those who are least prepared to survive it, to hold up to it, and those who are ignored. And I know we've had this conversation before, but every time you answer that question for me on or off the air, it still has such a cold water in your face. We all need to wake up to these facts. Equality is well, you know, coincidentally, we are pre-recording this on the 16th of September to be aired on the 21st of September. But on this 16th day of September 1932, Gandhi began his fast for an equality between the different sects and castes and classes of people in India, and it, of course, became internationally renowned. And still, we're still debating equal education. We're still debating economic opportunity. Nobody expects everyone's going to be a millionaire, but they ought to have the kind of education and the kind of opportunity that gives them a chance to go for it. And now to hear that even climate change, which, of course, the wealthiest of industry has created, is impacting in such imbalance on the least wealthy. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get back to letting Andrea Miller speak about the wonderful event in support of the papal visit, Pope Francis I, on Thursday, September 24th. We'll be right back. Please stay with us.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. In her early career, Charlize Theron was once labeled a mannequin. Looks great, no talent. Maybe it was just such early snubs that motivated the very talented Theron to achieve a richly diverse body of work that included Oscar recognition for an especially ugly role in the film Monster. In the offbeat comedy Young Adult, Theron gets ugly again as Mavis, a former high school beauty, now 40. She has lived on her good looks, but now realizes she'd best get a husband before it's too late. When she receives a baby announcement from a former high school flame, she decides to return home to get him back. Mavis gets what Mavis wants. Warning, you will like her less and less the more you get to know her. As Mavis is such a hateful character, it is a blessing when she runs into another old classmate, Matt, played by the lovable Patton Oswalt. Matt was the butt of jokes and criminal cruelty back when Mavis reigned supreme. He has now come to know human nature and will try in vain to open Mavis's eyes. The interplay between the hated Mavis and the very sympathetic Matt drives this powerful character study to rise above interesting to oddly endearing. Young Adult, not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voices radio talk show with my guest, Andrea Miller. We've been having a tremendous conversation about Pope Francis, about climate change, the differences in the way that the climate change affects different people of different incomes, different neighborhoods, etc., different lifestyles. And there's a huge event happening in honor of and in support of Pope Francis's visit in Washington, D.C., on the National Mall on September 24th. And Andrea Miller is a key part, she and her organization, People Demanding Action, in this event. And so we're going to continue our conversation with her now. Andrea, just to start off, I think we were talking about you need volunteers the day of the event, and do you want to continue telling us, you know, about emails? And I know I've been sending emails about it, and I've also been using Twitter with the hashtag #FollowFrancis.
Yes.
But tell us what the things we can do to make this successful.
As I mentioned, we do need volunteers. We really need volunteers before the event. So, as I mentioned, there are a lot of people that are not on social media, apparently don't read newspapers either. They have no idea that the Pope is coming. So what we're doing is we're putting up posters and flyers all around metro stations in D.C., and now we need to expand to do Maryland and Virginia, because Metro will be running. They're going to start running at 5 a.m. on the 24th, and that will get people into the city of Washington, D.C. So while we're asking people, please come in, we really don't expect you to drive. That might not
be a good idea.
Your better idea.
So, to state the obvious, is the U.S. Capitol the stop on the metro that is best to get to your specific location on the National Mall, or is there a better?
And you know, I am not that familiar with metro. I would think you could use Smithsonian would be one of the stations.
Yes.
We're going to need to get that up on our website because, as you know, Marcello, I spend all my time on Capitol Hill.
It's true.
And I'm going, you know, that's very, very interesting. Are we going to be getting people off at Smithsonian? I know that's a perfectly reasonable spot to get to the National Mall. And then there are just a couple of other spots, depending upon what line you come in. I'm really hoping we have weather like this.
Yes.
Where we'll be lovely weather, and people will be able to get off Metro and have a very lovely morning walk to where our location is.
And the National Mall, just, you know, so everyone knows, you know, that's the Lincoln Memorial and the Washington Monument and the Reflection Pool and, of course, the new World War II and Vietnam War memorials. Tell us again, you gave us the exact streets that border your location for your event, which is, again, remind me, it's the Moral Action.
Moral Action for Climate Justice.
Yes.
And so we are going to be on the National Mall between 3rd Street and 7th Street. So we have a very big expanse of the National Mall. And because we do have so much space, we did elect to go with 6 Jumbotrons just to ensure that people are going to be able to see our program. We are going to have speakers from the major environmental groups. We are also going to have local environmental justice leaders and other people that we frequently call frontline communities, communities that have an incinerator or a fighting one, communities that have a coal-fired plant nearby or they're fighting to keep the utility company from building another one. Gentrification is also another climate justice initiative where you basically are an environmental justice initiative where in a city like Washington, D.C., where there used to be so many rich ethnic neighborhoods, now all those folks have been forced out and the developers have turned everything into literally, you know, a high rent district. So, and it's just forcing all the poor people out of D.C. and into Prince George's, Maryland, which is also now experiencing problems of its own.
You know, this so smacks of the similar thing after Katrina that the government finally went into the Gulf Coast, New Orleans in particular, and helped, perhaps too little too late in some opinions, of course, including my own, but what was replaced was not affordable in many cases of the people who had been displaced. Is this sort of a pattern, and do you see any planned? It can't always be accidental. It happens too often. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it is very, very planned. We saw it in Detroit with the water shut off.
Yes.
Where did they shut the water off? They shut the water off in neighborhoods that were near downtown Detroit. They shut the water off in neighborhoods that had water feuds. So, again, there are many different tricks that developers can use to get their hands on land that they believe if we just ran all the poor people away, we could definitely get far more upwardly mobile people here. Washington, D.C. has a very low unemployment rate among a certain class of people. So very desirable to live in Washington, D.C. You would be living near your job. Now, in Washington, D.C., in one of the, you know, very, very, very nice neighborhoods, basically a two-bedroom condominium goes $100,000.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa. That is an income that most average families could afford. But it is typical for some of the neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. Now, again, like New York, you've got a number of people that have lived in buildings for a very, very, very long time.
Yes.
So they are paying nothing like that. But then you have many, many, many neighborhoods, D.C., that border these, quote, very nice premium neighborhoods where maybe the families bought their homes 10, 20, 30 years ago, and maybe those homes are now paid for, but now that they're looking at a home whose value is suddenly $100,000, when the family paid $25,000 for it, that creates a very different tax bill, especially when you say if they bought that home 30 years ago, they're probably retired now.
It's so eye-opening, and we have to keep hearing it until we do something about it. Like the rally in Washington, D.C., the Moral Action on September 24th, I'm wondering, too, maybe we should mention, Andrea, that climate change is not just an American issue. But speaking of America, I wonder about what's going on in the Arctic. I love a lot of the things that President Obama has proposed and accomplished. Obamacare certainly has proven the Republicans wrong. But this plan to allow Shell to drill in the Arctic, and what is going on? What should we be thinking about with the Russians and the Americans sort of racing to take over the Arctic? What are you? And of course, it's more possible now because of climate change melting the glaciers. What do you think?
Right. Well, number one, all fossil fuels that are in the ground should remain there.
Yes.
That is number one priority. If it's in the ground, leave it in there. And it is really critical that we prepare and we transition ourselves to renewables. Coal is in the ground. Leave it there. Oil, it's in the ground. Leave it there. Our methods of extraction generally are very, very polluting. They contribute in part to climate change. So we are burning dirty energy to get dirty energy. And then when we get the dirty energy, we create more dirt in both the air and the water. And again, in very sensitive environments like the Arctic, we really don't want to do anything that exacerbates the melting of the glaciers. One of the things that people really need to think about is it's not just the glaciers melt and the polar bears don't have anywhere to live. The main concern, the human part of the concern, is the glaciers are land masses.
Yes.
If a land mass melts and we suddenly add millions upon millions of gallons of liquid water to the oceans, the sea levels and the oceans rise. And when they rise, they cover land.
Yes.
So we look at Australia, Japan, India. We look at very populous countries that are very, very low as far as sea level is concerned. And when millions of extra gallons of water get dumped in the ocean, much of their land mass will now be underwater. What happens to those people?
And what needs to be our sense of urgency? Because I really think most Americans, even if they believe in climate change or know something about the Pope's coming, they think this is a problem for their great-grandchildren. I don't know why that wouldn't be enough of the incentive to do something, but I recall very much in the election, what year was that, 2012, was it, when Romney, Paul Ryan were campaigning, that Paul Ryan took his mother to the villages in Florida. And first thing he said was, nothing's going to happen to your Medicare, your Social Security. Yours will stay the same. It won't kick in until his economic plan, won't kick in until the next generation. Well, they cheered and applauded, but the next generation are their children and grandchildren. I that still just sticks with me. So what is the reality? I mean, climate change, I believe, from what I've been studying, is not only not 50 years away, it's here right now. What do we do to wake, you know?
It's here right now, and what we're talking about doing now, we should have done 10 years ago.
Yes.
And we should be looking at the results of all the changes that we made a decade ago. One of the big problems with climate change is everybody is familiar with the organization 350.org.
Mm.
Well, the whole idea behind 350.org is that is the amount of, what is it, CO2 or gases.
Mm-hmm.
And 350 was supposed to be the ceiling. And once we got below or above 350, then the climate was really going to begin to shift. We were going to begin to see major weather changes, which we are seeing now.
Yes.
The great in Florida that provide one-third of Florida and California that provide one-third of California's water have basically dried up.
Yes.
So California is now in the middle of a major drought.
Yes.
There are major forest fires burning in California, Washington State, and Oregon. And we are now approaching 400 parts per million, and we are well above the 350, and we are still rising. So now we not only have to reverse ourselves and get back to 350, we've got to manage to get below 350. So climate change is upon us, and it is critical that we begin making the necessary changes right now, which is why, as I said earlier, whatever fossil fuels are in the ground, they must stay in the ground, and it must be our goal to reach zero carbon emissions as quickly as we possibly can. Some people are saying 2050, and we've got to be halfway there by 2025 or 2030. Otherwise, it is going to get even worse than it already is.
We know now, it's not just conjecture anymore, we know that the Koch brothers have put a lot of money into the denial of climate change. And someone asked me recently, why would they do that? And I conjectured that, well, you know, if there's oil and other fossil fuels under ice, it's a lot more difficult and costly to get through a glacier, to drill through a glacier, than it is to drill through water, as we know. That's why the oil rigs in the Gulf and everywhere. So it is sort of, it makes it easier for them. I don't know what they're thinking about their own future or the future of, I don't think they think much about the future of the people or the planet, but it isn't just the Koch brothers. It is an international situation. Give us your parting thoughts, your website. And again, volunteers need to be there on the National Mall to help the day go smoothly. Tie it all together for us, if you could.
All righty. Well, again, climate change is an international issue because, as Pope Francis put it, we human beings, no matter where we live, the Earth as a planet is our common home.
Yes.
You can get more information about Rally and also many of the other wonderful events that are happening in D.C. and throughout the country by visiting www.moralactiononclimate.org. You can volunteer and RSVP on www.followfrancis.org. We have our volunteer site there. And then also on Moral Action on Climate. court, we put up a new button this morning about buses. There is now a bus company that's working with us. If any area gets, say, 25 people or more that want to take a bus into D.C., you can contact the bus company on moral action on climate.org. There's a big button, bus info, and they will put a bus for you together for you. We've got buses coming from Chicago and Florida and Mississippi and Georgia and Connecticut. So, and we really need to get some buses coming from Richmond and even maybe Charlottesville, but we haven't really had people contacting us and asking. So we'd really love to help you to get to the rally. We've got a bus company standing by waiting to put on new routes. www.moralactiononclimate.org. Bus information. If there's no bus from your city, contact the company. They'll tell you how many people you need to get together, and when you get your folks, they will organize a bus for you.
Fantastic. I do. That's such an upbeat a place to end, but I do remember the point I wanted to make, and I'd like to extend the time if we can get your take on it. I always tell people, you know, a hurricane in Florida or the Gulf Coast impacts all of Americans, but we haven't, a lot of us, you don't hear much in the media about the drought in California having an impact across the nation in our food supply. Can you, do you feel comfortable speaking to that? Because I just think people, you know, you watch it on TV and there's a tornado in the Midwest and the drought in California and the fires all up and down the West Coast, and they all think it's stuff going on over there. But it's all connected to climate change, and we're all connected to it. That's my question. You tell me.
All right. The fires that are burning are normally going to be in forested areas, and generally we are not farming in forested areas.
Mm-hmm.
So what does happen when we start having these brush fires, these forest fires, depending upon where they are, they could impact farmland, land where people are growing things. And when there is a drought, crops are definitely impacted because the farmers in the Central Valley have a hard time getting water to keep their crops alive.
Mm.
There are places in Utah and some of the other western states where literally their crops are dying right there on the vine because there is no water.
Mm.
The rainfall has always been limited, but the creeks are drying up from lack of rain, and there just isn't any water. What we do begin to see is this market-driven economy that so many people seem to love. When we lose a market, when we lose produce coming in from California, other states go, oh, wow, there's a real opportunity for us to raise our prices because whatever product they sell, now there's less of it.
Mm.
So are going to feel an increase in the price of food. And even if it isn't anything that you eat, the fact that now there are thousands, if not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people who have lost their living because there is no water to support their way of life, at some point that does come home to roost.
Yes.
And that really begins to impact us more and more if this continues and it isn't just kind of a one-time thing.
Thank you so much, Andrea Miller. I just wanted us to end with, you know, wake us up and shake us and throw some cold water if we can afford the water before the corporations own it. But the good thing here, the positive thing to take away from today's message is on September 24th, Moral Action for Climate Change in Washington, D.C., on the National Mall between 3rd and 7th Street, was it, Andrea?
That is correct.
and be there. This isn't just about Pope Francis, although we are extremely fortunate to have someone like this man with the kind of following that he can bring. But it's the message that we all need to be, Roman Catholic or not, American or not. It's a worldwide message. We have got to work together to save the planet, to save all life on the planet, and save ourselves as well as our future. Thank you so much, Andrea Miller. Wishing you all the best. You know how I love you. And especially on September 24th, it's on us. That's it. Thank you, and all the best. Bye now.
Stay with us, as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Though independent films are more widely known today than they ever have been, their process of birth is still largely unknown to the casual moviegoer. For every big-budget blockbuster a studio cranks out, there is a mob of independent directors working to get their passion projects off the ground. American Movie follows Mark Borchott, an ambitious Milwaukee filmmaker, with several uncompleted projects rattling around in his brain. After trying and failing to start production on what he considers to be his magnum opus, he decides to finish Coven, a short horror film he had stopped shooting 2 years earlier. With a ragtag crew of friends and family, Borchott struggles to see his dreams realized. But setbacks include a crotchety, nearly senile producer, a lack of experience amongst cast and crew, and not least, his own burgeoning alcoholism. Borchott himself is something of a tragic hero. He clearly means well and has an interesting creative vision, but he must eventually face his own demons in order to finish what he started. Watching Borchott and his crew try, fail, and ultimately succeed is both wildly entertaining and informative for budding filmmakers and the would-be artists in us all. Definitely worth a watch. American Movie. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us and becoming one of the reasonable voices heard around the world. Fueling the American dream begins with freedom of choice at the pump. Congrats to Queen Elizabeth and prayers for those escaping Syrian war, surviving persecution of Hungarian government, which fails to imagine resources spent on mass transit trains would transport refugee masses out of Hungary faster than camps and barbed wired fences. The Victorian age convinced most of us there were monumental eras, man-made institutions, sustainable benchmarks, and developing technologies that would, if not protect our empires, then at least our borders, resources, and civilizations from erosion. We assumed the permanence of coal, glaciers, rainforests, seasons, predictable weather patterns, electricity, sound currencies, loyalty between business and customers, incorruptible governments, national security, basic human decency, honesty, character, professionalism, World Trade Center towers, air conditioning, computers, smartphones, personal privacy, freedom, plentiful, safe, and clean food, water, air, and an endless flow of fracking-free oil, all while allowing infrastructure supporting our over-consumerism habit to decay like truth at the pump. Somewhere between Supreme Court shattering Standard Oil and favoring Citizens United, we became willing welcome mats for oil men hooking us on their hookah refineries. Oil in our carpets, furniture, plastics, oil sweatshop-produced clothing, and pricey pharmaceutical meds. Oil lubricates high-T societies, the poor, middle class, and Middle East alike. It is the underground stream overflowing Russian and European resurrection dreams and fueling China's race from second place to a smogged finish line. Mesmerized by all that glitters, we believe lower gasoline prices come from oil gods, suddenly empathetic to our environmental goals, instead of the manipulated calm before the storm, aimed at impeding the pursuit of alternative green energy. Few wonder why most American military entrenchments are positioned near corporate-owned oil fields at an annual tax burden of $500 trillion. Corporate welfare, most foul. Arguably, GM, Firestone Tire, Standard Oil, Federal Engineering, Phillips Petroleum, and Mack Trucks bought and destroyed electric mass transportation trolley cars as prelude to Eisenhower confusing interstate roadways with mass transportation. Either way, America got run off the rails and, oil-slicked, Jack and Jill went up the hill guzzling gas. International oil pumps, ignited by World War II demand, became economic extortion weapons for mass American consumption when, in 1960, OPEC was founded by countries that America continues to fight for and against. What if China's falling currency stalks us like students haunted by bankers' loans? What if black gold reserves disappear before corporatism monopolizes renewable alternatives? Can oil reserves last until we're renewable or tap out, leaving our children perpetually bloodied for oil stains? What will satisfy the next generation's Chinese car craze created in our image? Hillary's campaign, Serena's loss, and 9/11 have taught us nothing can be taken for granted. There is no certainty on a melting iceberg, in a diminishing rainforest, or a flaming giant sequoia. The only alternative to embracing renewable energy is a snowball in Congress and the corporate pawn hailing it as proof against global warming. So, what do we do? Realize Americans dying for Halliburton is not a sustainable solution. Individually, transform our piece of America to renewable green energy. Drive in a way that ends our oil age. Politically, oppose oil company fuel monopoly. Make solar panels a construction requirement. Demand a choice between gasoline and biofuels. Emulate China emulating us by emulating Brazil. Check to see if we have a flex fuel car. Petition Congress for alternative fuel distribution and demand the Open Fuel Standard Act be passed and delivered to President Obama to sign into law. Oil men like Bush Cheney, oil companies like Shell and Exxon, auto companies like GM, and their Wall Street bankers are the people who are corporations. And they are destroying the fabric of America, cities like Detroit, social assistance like Planned Parenthood, public education, and, most importantly, the self-confidence of hard-working Americans. Even Henry Ford's assembly line produced cars capable of running on either gasoline or alcohol. Then came oil man John D. Rockefeller with his 18th Amendment to the Constitution. It's time America left behind the oil industry, leaving us behind because their bottom line is the priority that denies us the freedom to choose flex fuel cars. When we stop buying gas guzzlers and start buying electric cars, prices will decline. The environment may even get a second wind, and we will be enriched by choice. Our transportation, society, economy and freedom are hanging in the imbalance of Citizens United electing Kim Davis, and reason looming just out of reach, but still at our fingertips, if we update the software in our cars. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of the Reasonable Voice. Website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I'm Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.